cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, baby! Yeah! Welcome to it. It's another one of those really, really, really great times. It's the shortest radio show. Now, this is absolutely fantastic right here. My name is Weza, that guy. You can call me Weza Matomane, and we're going to have a great time with you. Now, I'm joined by a couple of really cool people today. Some of these guys right here are go-getters. They are in right now in places where they really, really always wanted to be in. And they've had to hustle. You know, they had to knock on doors. They have to do quite a lot of things before they got to where they are right now. So it's really, really cool that we get to chat to young people doing great things. It is, after all, still Youth Month. So it's really good that we get to highlight some really, really amazing youth doing absolutely amazing things. Thank you very much for joining us, by the way. And, of course, every single time we are in these type of sessions, you are part of the tribe of superstar leaders. When you're listening to us right now, just by you interacting, whether you're interacting through Twitter, whether you're interacting through WhatsApp, or even if you just, you know, you listen regularly. I know that there's a lot of you guys, you listen a lot. You might not always tweet, you know, might not always say something, but every single time I meet you guys on the street, you're like, hey, I listen to your show. And I'm really, really thankful for that as well. You know what, guys? In the last 2 weeks, I've been saying it is winning season, people. Winning season. And I'm still in winning season right now. Pat, pat, pat. Tito Mboweni's coming in right now. It's winning season, baby. You need to declare that into your life. Because ever since that time, I told you that I'm going to make a certificate saying, this certifies that Weza Matomane has made it in life. You know that certificate? After I said that I was going to make that certificate, things have been happening. And in fact, I feel like I pretty much made it in life. Guys, today I signed a contract, a big one, my biggest contract that I've signed in my life so far. I'm talking 7 figures, people. I'm talking big things. I'm so excited, guys. But anyway, everyone in the whole country will know about it pretty soon. It's something that's going to come out pretty soon. It's going to be in your face. It's going to be everywhere. You can't hide from the greatness. It's just going to be everywhere. It's going to be uncontainable. That will make sure that that certificate that I want to make for myself really comes into fruition. And I think I encourage you to make that same certificate for yourself. Declare. It's winning season, people. Just tell it. Say it. It's winning season. You don't want to hear nothing unless it's good news. I ain't taking no more calls unless you got good news. You need to do that. It's a really, really good exercise. And it actually just helps you just feel positive about the entire day as well. So that's always a really, really cool thing, I think. So let's talk about the hustle, guys, because the hustle's not always easy. I'm joined by a lady right here who normally works right here at Cliff Central. Her name is Simpiwe. Simpiwe, how you doing?
I'm good, you?
I'm fantastic. Simpiwe, talk about the hustle, man. You out here, you're working at Cliff Central. Right now, you are you working permanently? Are you an intern? What is your position currently at this position?
Currently, I am an intern.
Yeah, yeah.
At cliffcentral.com.
Oh, fantastic stuff. You know, a lot of people want to be interns at Cliff Central, but everyone is sending emails and stuff. Not all everyone gets in, though. Something made you unique or special. What did you do?
So I wrote a really long email.
A long email?
Yes.
Oh, so they have to be long, these emails?
No.
Yeah?
The reason why is because I was doing my third job.
Yeah.
And I don't have much work experience. So my CV is kind of bland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just sold myself on the email. I was like, hey, I'd like to be an intern.
Yeah.
And I possess these qualities. Mm. And I think I'd be a great asset to your organization.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I want to work amongst the best. And I think you are the best.
Fantastic.
So I'd love to just get that opportunity to learn.
Mm.
And yeah, then I got an email saying, hey, we don't have anything available.
Yeah.
But let's have a chat. And then Rena replied to that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus.
yeah.
And I walked in, we spoke, and she's like, well, you can come through on Monday for a week, unpaid, and just,
yeah.
I came through.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want to stay. week one came, and then week two came, and next minute Rena was like, okay, we'll take you on for a month. Mm-hmm. A month became 6 months, yeah. And that got extended till now. So,
wow,
yeah.
Wow. Absolutely fantastic. That's pretty cool, man. But tell me, was it just a one email wonder?
Ooh. Regarding Cliff's Angel, yes. But yeah. I had sent a dozen emails out. In fact, over a dozen. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to be in media.
Yeah.
So in my final year where it became part-time, I had a lot of time on my hands. So I was like, this year I'm getting an internship. I started in Jan sending out emails to a lot of media companies. And I got tired when March came. I was like, okay, I'm done. Mm. Let me try corporate. I sent out a bunch of emails there about like, hey, you know, this is what I'm majoring in, project and strategic management. Mm. I'd like to intern there.
Yeah.
Dololo. It was only in August, I think, that I actually got a feedback, which was from Cliff Central.
Yeah.
The only one. And I was like, you know what? It's one, but I'm going to make sure that this opportunity, I take it with both hands and I run.
Yeah.
And yeah, my sister was like, yeah, wow, it's been about time you get a reply. Because she thought I was lying. I was I've been here sending emails, you know. Like, I'm here like every day. But yeah.
Yeah, wow. Now, tell me, were you sitting at home that entire time? Like, for instance, were you sending out emails while still studying? I know you said that's when you started, but there probably came a time where time was just going past, and then eventually school is finished, but you're still at home.
Yeah. So my course was like, I only had to go to class like once a month.
Mm.
No, once a week. Yeah, once a month type of
thing.
So I'm at home, I'm chilling, and I'm like, you know what? This is the year where I'm going to get an internship. And I was very purposeful in terms of wanting an internship. I didn't want to get a permanent job because I was like, no, this is a trap, y'all. This is a trap. Next minute, I'm comfortable with the salary, and then I'm not pursuing my dream. So I said, you know what? I want to learn because I studied business.
Mm.
And January, February, March, it just went on and on. And I was at home and I'm seeing my friends. They're like, yo, girl, we're doing our final. Yeah. Some of my other friends, they got internships fast. And I was like, yo, but God, why? Why are you leaving me behind? Like, why? Why am I here every day busy with data and just like, can someone reply? Because what's even worse is that people don't reply to say, oh, we got your email, thanks, but there's no vacancies.
Yeah.
No, dololo. So I'm like, what the hell am I doing wrong? And when I did get the email from Rena, I was just like, this is for me.
Yeah.
And yes. Yes.
Wow. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and I'm still here. So hopefully now I'll become permanent.
Yeah. No, this is really cool. You know, it's always interesting to hear, you know, what is the journey really like? Because a lot of people looking from the outside, looking in, think that, oh, she just got it lucky. She probably knows someone on the inside, you know, because they feel like their emails get rejected and they're wondering how you got it, you know?
I wish I knew someone in the inside. I mean, all my friends are studying business.
Mm.
And I had friends starting their own businesses and they're like, why don't you start your own ish? And I'm like, I do want to do that. I do want to go into just starting my own business, but I have this passion for media and I studied business and I'm not going to get it if I just start my own thing. I'm not going to get that experience that I desperately want and desperately need.
Mm.
And I'm not going to get those contacts that I need. You know, I'm talking to Weza, that guy. I was never going to know Weza, that guy. Like, never. Like, in a million years. So I was very mindful in that I can start my own thing, be successful, but media, come on. Like, there's just something about it that I can't let it go. Mm. And my sister was always like, you know, you can get this internship and earn this much. And I'm like, I know. But once I become comfortable in that salary, and once I start bringing back the bacon and now there's black tax and this, I'm not going to leave it because I'm always going to be like, yo, there's security in this.
Mm.
But if I follow my dreams and start now as a young person, I promise you, y'all going to know my name very soon.
Well done. Her name is Simpiwe. Just in case you didn't know. But now tell me, Simpiwe, you see, you mentioned black tax a little earlier. You know, this thing of follow your dreams, it sometimes feels like it's easier for people who have it easy at home. There's no pressure, there's money, so I'm just going to follow my dream. Whereas a child who really needs money Which one were you? Were you the type of person, you know, in position A, you know, black tax was a real thing? Or were you in quadrant B, where it was like, oh, no, man, it's all chilled?
I'm definitely in A.
Yeah.
I grew up with my gran and sister. Mm-hmm. So my sister's the breadwinner at home. Mm. And she was like, she said to me, you know, when you grow older, you need to help out financially.
Mm.
And first, when I got the contract to say, hey, come on for 6 months,
yeah,
it said this is how much you're getting, and as an intern you don't get paid much. And at home they were like, okay, at least you bring home something.
Yeah,
you know, you can pay, sure, you can pick one bill and you can pay.
Hey.
So it started from there. From day one, the minute I started earning, at home they're like, this is your responsibility and you need to pay that. And it's been hard because now they're looking at me and they're like, you've been there for 10 months, girl, come on now. Ish. This paper needs to grow.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's a journey, relax. I know what I'm doing. Being an intern is not the best place to be financially, but I know that in the long term it's going to serve me well.
Yeah.
And as a black child, we do have that pressure to make it. Like, today you get a job, tomorrow you are a millionaire and you're buying your grandmother a house and you're buying this and you're fixing the house. But I can't do that now. I hope and I pray that in the near future I get to do things like that for my grand. But they must just be patient. But black tax is very real.
Yeah. Oh, because I think it's interesting that you could, though, you know, you have these pressures of having to try and provide for the family and you know, black tax being a real thing, you could still say, no, I'm going to be patient. 3 more months of waiting, but I'm still going to wait 1 more month because I think my dream, let me give my dream 1 more chance. 1 more month, guys. 1 more month. What kept you going?
It was funny. I was in bed and I was crying and I said, you know what, God, I am, this is like the year's coming to an end. I've not done what I said I wanted to do. I'm going to send out these emails, and if nothing comes from it, I'm done. Like, I'm never going to pursue this ever again. I'm 21. I've been saying that I'm the next Oprah. I've been saying it, but nothing is coming to life. Like, I can't do this to myself. This is not helping me.
Yeah.
And literally, like, I think 2 weeks later, he answered. And I was like, wow, okay, thank you. There is a God. Amen. Hallelujah. And it was so funny because Rena was saying, you know, your email came in just the right time, just before I started looking for another intern. And I was like, look at God. Look at God. Like, wow. I sent it at the right time. And I just hope more opportunities like that come my way. And it's not just me sitting down and saying, yes, I want to be the next Oprah. But I'm actually also taking steps to say, hey, you know what? Child, you need to send emails, you need to buy data, even though, you know, that data life is very high and it's very expensive. You need to do that and you need to invest in yourself.
Yeah.
And also, being in an environment like this, I've taken the time to learn not only about what goes on in the media industry, but learn things about myself. You know, I thought I had it all put together and I was like, ah, this is easy. Child, there's a lot to learn, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that you yourself just have to sometimes keep quiet and be like, I don't know it all. Let me learn. Let me oh, okay, how did Gareth Cliff do it? Okay, how did this guy do it? How did he do it? Okay, that's okay. That, oh, I see. Oh, all right, cool. My path might look like this. And not looking at somebody else and saying, yo, Batung, Weza is a radio host. He is a voiceover artist. He's earning 6 figures now. and I'm only here as an intern. Like, what am I doing wrong? But just understanding the process and that everything's going to happen. And I just need to keep on doing this. That's literally the only thing.
Actually, you know what touched me, what you were saying, is when you were just crying at some point. And sometimes, I mean, those type of things happen where you are so frustrated. You know, I remember my own journey too, you know, where you really want this so bad, man. You really want this so bad. And you can't understand why it's not coming right now, because you think you're ready. You know, and you think you got it already. So why not me? Why not now?
Yeah. And I think what's worse is, in high school, I've always been someone who's very strategic in what I do. So when I started grade 8, I was like, okay, grade 8, I need to get this. Grade 9, I need to do that. Okay, grade 10, I need to get my white blazer, this and that. And it all happened according to that plan. So now I've left high school and this is my plan of life. This is me saying, okay, this year I want to achieve this, do that, and it's not happening. I couldn't understand. I was just like, I'm such a failure. Why? Nice. Why? That's how I literally felt, because I was like, oh my gosh, my degree is almost up. I enjoyed it so much, but why aren't I achieving these things? I did this in high school. I set goals. I did the whole, oh, okay, 2016, this is A, B, C, and it was not, none of it. And it was just like, yo, yeah, life is real. And you just have to be patient sometimes. And you just have to say, you know what? Yeah, like, just let things be, because I can't control everything. And I'm glad. I'm glad.
Nah, yo. In fact, still talking about that frustration, that deep frustration. I remember this one time, I was doing a certain show, and I'm backstage, and I'm passing this group of people, and this one guy stops me and says, "Sorry, are you Weza?" And I said, "Yes." He's like, "Oh, I hate you, by the way." And then I was like, "Oh, okay." Then he's like, "You can go," and I walked away, and I thought, "That's odd. That's weird." A year later, that same guy came to me and said, "Could you please be my mentor?" And I was like, whoa, okay. And this actually got me to realize something, that people sometimes mistake hate for a deep frustration they have with their own potential. And they really feel that, shucks, man, you represent all my missed opportunities. And I don't hate you, I just hate the idea that I am not there yet. And sometimes, you know, those strong emotions happen when you are really passionate about something and you cry about it. And in fact, sometimes, nowadays, I'll be honest, I've never said this out loud before, but sometimes, even nowadays, I cry just thinking back on how bad I wanted it then and how I'm living that right now. And that's deep.
Yeah.
That is really, really, that's real right there. Like, I would generally sit and I would think, wow, look at it. It's happening the way I've always dreamt about it. My gosh, it took a while. But I, and the interesting thing is, when you're there, you realize that, man, I was actually not ready for what, you know, because when you see yourself now and you're thinking, the qualities I have now, what I've learned in the journey, I was not ready to handle all of this back then. And maybe I would have failed, or maybe I wouldn't have handled it with as much poise as I can handle it now. So sometimes you actually also appreciate the journey. There are a couple of, you know, thought leaders that would say that on the way to you becoming a self-made millionaire, or maybe like a super successful person, if that's what you want to become, it is not so much the destination that is important, but it is the person you become in the process. That because once you reach that destination, what's next, you know? And sometimes people get there and then they lose it all. But because of the person they've become, they are now a person that attracts that type of achievement, and you're able to make it back twice as fast, or in fact, you know, sometimes with way less effort, because you just embody what that type of you know, what that type of thing really demands. And that's sometimes always the cool thing. Hey man, so you know, all the best with your future. It's really cool that we got to chat with you, future Oprah of South Africa and the world.
Yes.
Her name is Simpiwe. We only know your name. Why don't you just give us the full government?
Oh my gosh. So igama lami Simpiwe Zamkile Mthethwa. You can follow me on Twitter at Zimthethwa, Instagram Zimthethwa. In fact, it's just Zimthethwa everywhere. And that's me.
Fantastic. Well,
watch,
thank you very
space.
Much.
Nah. Yes.
Nah.
Yes.
Fantastic. This is one of the lovely ladies right here at Cliff Central. There are many of them, but she's also definitely one of the stars. She's always smiling, always taking selfies of people and putting them up on the website and everywhere. And there's always like 10 different takes of everything before we get the right one. So she's really cool. So thank you very much for joining us. She's just amazing. And we like talking to amazing people who inspire us, or in fact, even just you know, they talk truth, they talk about really cool things that we're interested in. And of course, all we want to do is just inspire each other and try to make sure that we grow as the tribe of superstar leaders. Next up, I'm going to be chatting to a gentleman who's also doing some really, really cool things, and let's check him out right after this.
This is cliffcentral.com.
Iskupu, yours ain't banging like mine, no. Yo, what's up, guys? It's your girl, Gigi LeMaine, and you're tuned into The Unplugged Radio Show on Thursdays right here on Cliff Central from 12 to 1 p.m., baby. Are you ready?
Yeah, so we are still ready. jacked up and good to go. We're right now chatting to a gentleman that's also doing some really cool things. He is from the Eastern Cape. How you doing, brother? I know, let's just make sure that the whole tribe can understand us. You know, even though it is so much easier to just speak in Xhosa, but, you know, just to make sure that the worldwide audience can hear us right here, we're going to try and keep it universal. Cool, Mfethu, Gauslali, Kamalako, where you from? Tell us a bit about yourself.
Okay, well, I'm Yamkela Kivit.
Yeah.
Originally born in the Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
Grew up in Pietermaritzburg for half of my life. Moved to Joburg in 2012. Like most people, I came to Joburg to hustle. I'm an entrepreneur. I own a company that's called Kiv Projects and Consulting. In that company, we own numerous other businesses. We have equity in restaurants. We have equity in digital marketing businesses. We're involved in property development and so on. Yeah.
Hey, man, you're mentioning the big words only, man. Big words only. Tell me, though, let's before we even get to the big words and how you got to speak the language, you come from Eastern Cape. Was your education also from Eastern Cape?
Okay. In the Eastern Cape, I think I was there until grade 4.
Okay.
I stayed with my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And then in grade 4, because my mom was working in Johannesburg, she was like, come to Joburg. Straight after that, my mom got married, so I had to move to Pietermaritzburg.
So she moved with you to Pietermaritzburg?
Yeah, then she moved with me to Pietermaritzburg. So in Pietermaritzburg, then I had most of the rest of my primary school years were there and my high school years. And then in 2012, I moved to Joburg.
Yeah, okay, pretty cool. So 2012, how old are you at this time?
Okay, 17 years.
17 years old, coming to the big city. Yamkela comes to Jozi.
And it was actually a very interesting one because I grew up in the type of family setup where, like most black children, your blood father, maybe as many would call them,
biological
is
father,
absent. It stirred up because I knew him and I knew that he was wealthy. And I just knew that he was just not involved in my life. And I knew that he was a man that just lived down the road to where I originally came from. So automatically, when I was moving to Joburg, there was no other thing in me than I need to get to the city and I need to make it. I can't afford not to make it because I need to show people that even if you have been rejected or whatever, you have the ability to turn that situation around and be a testimony to people and show them that actually you can become a success.
Wow. So you felt like your father rejected you? Like, is that... Don't you think maybe it was just a difference between you and... Okay, well, I mean, this is like deep politics, right? It could have been your mother saying, no, I reject him. But it could have been him as well.
I think for me, it's... I've come to a level of maturity where at that time it was a blame game. At this level in my life, it's not that. So it's to say that for whatever situation that it was, it never worked out. We never got to establish a relationship at that time. And it might have not been because he wanted to disrupt my future or someone wanted to disrupt my future, but it was because there were certain principles I had to learn in life that I might have not learned if he was present.
Well, it's always good, you know, to just change one's perspective. It's the same problem, but if you just look at it differently and you look at the silver linings, what can we learn about this, or what could we, what positives came out of it? You know, I think that's what you have decided to do. I've heard once from a friend that the reason why on a camera the lens is the most expensive is because perspective is that important.
Yeah. I think perspective is very critical in a person's life, because how you view things determines how you will even execute things in your life. Some people do not execute and become effective in life, not because they weren't designed to be effective in life, but because the perspective that they had of their life, which was based on their circumstance, have stopped them from thinking bigger and being effective in how they do things. It goes to a small things that someone who thinks that they are destined for poverty, whose perspective is that poverty is the ultimate for their lives, they will not execute their tasks as well as a person who has changed their perspective and said, I can come out of poverty, I can be successful. Because the one that wants to be successful, he's gonna plan his days, he's gonna be effective in how he does things, he's gonna make sure that excellence is the key in whatever he does. So perspective is very critical. A mind shift is very critical.
Which is actually pretty cool. I like that fact that I want to actually ask you this. Did you maybe, because your father, though he was not active in your life, because he was successful and wealthy, did you believe that of yourself and saying, well, I am of his bloodline, therefore it is kind of expected that I too will be successful and wealthy? It's just my minimum requirement.
Actually, I think that was the mentality. Yeah. And to be very honest with you, I was very inspired by his materialistic achievement. And I think when people would say that I would look like him, because I'd go down the streets and everyone would say, hey, these big ears and everything, you look like this person. And automatically it said to me that, okay, if this individual can do this and I'm in his bloodline, definitely I can even do double or triple. And I even say this, it's a testimony for me in life now, that I know that what I am doing in life at this age that I am doing, it's almost double or triple what my father was doing.
Oh, wow. Yeah. This is absolutely fantastic. It actually speaks to something I heard once, an example that was being made, saying that back in the slave trade, they had these slaves that were taken from Africa and they were now in America, and they were busy selling them on a certain day. And one of the merchants was particularly interested in one slave. Now, that slave had his, you know, his chest outwards as he walked. He had his shoulders, you know, nice and broad. He had this kick to his walk as well. And he had his chin up. And it seemed as if, you know, he carried himself totally different from all the other slaves. And they were, and then the guy said, hey, how much for that one? I want that one. And the, you know, the dude said, no, that one's not for sale. And they're like, why? Well, this guy right here, I found out his story is that he's from Africa, in a place where his father was the chief, and he is the prince. Like, his father was the king and he's now the prince. And though he's here, but he still carries himself like a prince. He the way he does his work is like the quality of a prince. The way he addresses people, the way he just does everything, is totally different, and therefore he's not like the other slaves, and I cannot sell him because he's too valuable to me. And that's actually something interesting, because this person, though removed from that place where he was an actual prince, he never stopped believing that about himself, and he never stopped believing that that is his value. And though things look different right now, you look like a slave because everyone else around you looks like a slave too. You're being treated like a slave. But he never allowed his insight to change. You know, he still carried himself in a certain way and he believed a certain thing about himself. Do you think that maybe somehow you kind of relate or resonate with this type of character?
I think even beyond the biological point of view, one of the things that I discovered in my life is from a young age, when I was around 17 years old, I wanted to know my identity. Who am I? Because whenever you understand your identity, then you become effective in life. So as soon as I understood my identity and I pictured my destiny as successful, as wealthy, I then carried myself out as that, you know.
Wow.
When I went into a meeting, you know, people would see this short guy, but the way in which he came into the meeting, the confidence, the way he is dressed, the way he says things, the way he speaks, automatically it spoke and was in line with my destiny.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, I like that. I like to hear those type of things.
Yeah. So I think one of the main distractors of young people in society today is when people become controlled by circumstance than destiny. If you allow circumstance to tell you, circumstance is limited to your reality right now. But if you allow destiny to control you, it'll control how you talk, it'll control how you come into meetings, it'll control the atmosphere of the meetings you are coming into, because you need to live in the culture of your destiny.
Wow. The culture of your destiny. Wow. And that, this is, where do you learn these things? Do you read books? How do you come up with these things?
I think for me, even despite reading, I always say that because of my belief, which I'm always straight about it, I'm a Christian. There's been a certain level of wisdom that has been given to me through grace and favor, you know. And experience also teaches you these things. You get to learn and you get to grow that if I do this, this becomes effective and it works in my life.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty cool. That's actually quite fantastic. So, I mean, Yamgela comes to Jozi. He's 17 years old. He finishes off with matric. And then now what happened next?
So after that, I tried to start a Christian publication, which was Eternity Gospel Lifestyle Magazine. I tried that off. It was popular. People were speaking about it. Media was speaking about it. We had the likes of Pastor Solis, Soli Mahlangu, and Israel Musetlas. We had in our events, Abo Hausa, and so on. So it was, we had kind of a lot of people involved in that project. I tried to pull it off when the day I was launching the event, because it was an event where we were starting off, you know, budget was limited. So we had a full-on concert to launch the event, to pre-launch the publication.
Yeah.
And on that day, the person that I was in partnership stole the money from the pre-launch ticket. So you can imagine now the media coverage you've been going to.
Christian event.
You've got
Wangenusata.
So yeah. You can imagine that you've got people to pay. You've got about a list of 10 artists, and which are not just any artists.
Yeah.
You know, the top artists at that time. You need to be paying them. And you're coming to them and you're telling them, the money was stolen. He withdrew all the money and he took all the cash that was there. There is no money.
Jeez, how old are you at this stage?
At this stage, I have just turned 18. I'm actually a few days. Just turned 18 years old. And you can imagine you're speaking to people double or triple your age. You know?
Yeah.
You're telling them that money has been stolen to a person that's older than you. Young Shaya Shaya. No?
Yeah, they were like, I should have never trusted
kids. And it was a difficult one, because after that, I had built the name Kayamkela so much around that space. You know, after that, I struggled to regain credibility in people.
Yeah, I can imagine,
Because now a lot of people were associating. You'd hear omunyati, hey, longa coke, you know, longa zilog. And it was a very difficult space in time. And I remember and I always say that if this had never happened, I would have probably not been where I am, because I had given up. I remember that this neighbor of mine, who has become like an uncle, you know, he came down and he came to the Eastern Cape at that time. It was in December, and he was like, you know what? And then I pitched to him that I also want to do a music project. And then he was like, okay, come back. When you come back to Joburg, let's talk about it. Let's set a budget. I'll help you out, you know. straight after that, I think it was after 3 days after that, I said, I'm going back to Joburg. Mm. You know, I took a bus from the Eastern Cape and I came to Joburg, met up with him. We got the project out. We did the recording. The CD was out. It was in Christian stores and so on. And it was selling. It has won Independent Gospel Music Award for Best Praise Album. And we did that. But it was, I knew that being a musician was not my calling. Mm. Being an entrepreneur was my calling. But I needed to go through the journey of also becoming a musician to learn some of the principles that I need to know in being an entrepreneur.
Wow, yeah. That's sometimes what happens. As a young person, you start off in a certain career. Not that necessarily you're supposed to be in that career, but it's just you're supposed to be in a career that is a derivative of that one. Yeah. So sometimes it's actually not a bad thing that you went through it so that you can get to know and get to understand exactly how your customer or your client works. Yeah. So that you can you'd be able to make a good product for them when you need to service them.
Yeah. Mm. And I think it taught me so much, because from there I got to learn how to deal with people. Mm. When you're a musician, you're dealing in a band, you're dealing with all these people, you're dealing with people on a day-to-day basis.
Sure.
And you get to understand those are critical skills of business. Mm. Because in business, in this day and age, it's relationships that sustain you. People do business a lot with people that they know. People buy from people that they know.
True.
Whose values that they know. People give certain deals to people. So relationships are the fundamental of business in the 21st century. So if I hadn't gone there, I would have not made some of the relationships that I made at that time, and I probably would have not been able to manage the relationships that I have today in business.
Mm, mm.
So I went there, I went into music, and after being in music, I launched my business, which was YD Communications. I did events,
yeah,
sound, stage hiring and all that. The business did well. We did numerous corporate things. I bought my first car.
Yeah. Wow.
It was an exciting thing, yeah, you know.
What was your first car?
It was a Renault.
Okay, fantastic. At least you didn't go like Verpa or something.
No.
Because then you're like deep in the debt and then you're thinking, No.
It was a Renault McGain. I believe in a cash life. I'm a person that stands up for a cash life, you know.
I think a lot of really traditional people hate debt. Is that, do you feel the same?
I do. Hey, yeah. I don't hate debt, but I hate the assumption that I have what I have because someone borrowed me something to have it.
Yeah.
I'd rather have what I have and say that I have it because I've obtained it fully.
Mm.
And the other thing is, when you're an entrepreneur, you need to be, I've learned that business has seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do not understand seasons, you'll be frustrated. And one of the things that I always say is I try to make most of my things cash, mm-hmm, so that if things are rough, they don't come bazong repossess anymore.
Yeah.
At least in Yawazo Kambe Motiam, I can go into a meeting and park my car and people can still take me seriously and then go and stress at home, you know, alone.
Yeah.
But knowing that I've got shelter and I've got a car.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's actually really good, to live within your means and not to try too much to impress you know, the people watching, whereas you know that you're not really affording to live here all the time. Yeah.
And I think it comes back to the, I always speak of this, I always say that I live on a motto that says enjoy today to enjoy tomorrow.
Mm.
A lot of young people don't do that. You need to enjoy today, because endurance says that I understand I'm going to get to the process or the season of enjoyment, but I understand that there are principles and there are things that I need to grasp within the endurance process, so that by the time I'm enjoying, I don't come back to endurance.
Eish.
Because
a lot of the people who didn't quite learn enough in endurance phase go to enjoy and then they come back.
They come
fast,
back to endurance.
But it's so bitter to come back to endurance.
And the sad part when you come back to endurance is the sad part, and I've realized it and experienced it in business, that when I've come back from a time where my salary was this much, let's say that my salary maybe was 50 per month, you know, or something like that. I'm just speaking out of.
Sure.
So And then you're coming back now and you're coming to a season where you need to survive on 10.
Mm.
That's where the principles that you learned on endurance play a vital and critical role. That how do you actually stand it out? So you need to understand that you need to enjoy today to enjoy tomorrow. Don't rush thing. This culture of people posting Bentleys and wanting instant gratification without the process, it's the culture that is destroying the life of entrepreneurship in young people. That's why you find that there are young people, you find that someone is at a young age and they're having heart attacks. There's no way you're not going to have heart attacks if you went forth and you went for an installment of a car that you don't even have a house, but your installment is almost triple. You should have a heart attack. I mean, you are frustrated. You know, you're in that car, you're driving someone else's car, you should be frustrated. It's someone else's belonging. So you find that there's a lot of young people, heart attacks, all these other things. Some of them, you see them posting. I always watch my WhatsApps, you know. I see people posting, life is so depressing and so on. And this person is driving a Mac and they're living in a small apartment. Yeah. And
I've seen these hashtag mid-rent starter pack. Like, and they say if the guy lives in mid-rent, it's a nice car, but inside the flat, there's pretty much almost nothing. That's what is seen as popular. There's a lot of guys who are living this facade like life. Yeah.
And you know what I always say? It comes back to this thing that as black people, we need to move away from the mentality of being survivalist to actually being legacy people. And the things that make people do these things is because a lot of us black people have been tuned in to get something just to show that I have something, to survive having gotten something. And a few people look 20 years down the line and say that, okay, when I do this, how is it going to impact me 20 years down the line? Am I building a legacy for my children? Are my children going to have a stable home? Is my wife going to come into a stable lifestyle? Is she going to come into a stable home? All those type of things. It's a fundamental thing. I see it every day in business where people are just building businesses just for the sake of them driving a Vrpa. No one sees the greater picture that we actually want to get black businesses on JSE. We actually want to get black businesses to be selling shares to the public. We want to get black businesses that will be launching a pad for other black businesses. I always say, I look at Vusi Tembewayo, his growth fund is introducing. And I say, that's where black people should be moving. You know, we want to accumulate wealth so that we can be able to build other young people to be able to accumulate wealth as well. So that by the time the next generation is starting, they're not starting on the same footprint that I started in. I always say, kune icathulo engihamba ngazo, downtown Josie, up and down and so on. So it shouldn't happen that my children now have to be walking up and down downtown Josie, but their phones get stolen, all these type of things. You know, we must create a legacy now. Business and life needs to be about legacy.
Wow, absolutely fantastic. That's actually a really, really profound statement. I actually like that. There's something I say sometimes, it might seem like a joke at times, but it actually has a bit of truth in it. And I'd like to hear your comment on it, is that when going on holiday, white people want to look like they have nothing. Like when they go on holiday, they almost go and act like they have nothing. And black people want to go and act like they have everything. Like what I mean is, white people go camping and they want to, you know, let's pretend we don't have a bed or a house. And they they go and use a tent, sleep with like a sleeping bag and fish, and let's pretend we don't have electricity or anything. Let's make our own fire. And that's like exciting to them. And with black people, you know, it's almost totally different.
I'll tell you my view on that. I always say this, that there's a reality that there are things that we are supposed to enjoy on earth. You are supposed to enjoy a nice car on earth. You are supposed to enjoy a comfortable bed on earth. You don't know afterlife if they will actually have that bed. You don't know if they're going to have a Mercedes afterlife. You don't know if it's going to be that. So there are things that I don't say to people, deprive yourself of good things.
Mm-hmm.
But the principle should be, live according to your means.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say to people, live less, because now you so end up. You know, I find that white people enjoy that because it's their culture of living. It's something that they've gone through for a long time. Because you'll find that when you'll go to the mountain and sleep on the floor and whatever, whilst you would have enjoyed being in a bed and your means could allow that. So what I'm trying to say is, people must also find it into themselves to enjoy things, you know, but enjoy things at a pace that they can afford those things.
Yeah, no, that's actually really, really important. You're right. There's some stats actually here that are pretty interesting. I'll just try and read them. The title says, are SA youth spenders or savers? So it says here, according to the recent Old Mutual Savings and Investments Monitor, only 26% of youth aged between 18 and 30 are saving for retirement, while only 31% are saving for emergencies. In contrast, 34% are saving for a car, 26% are saving to pay off debt, and up to 16% from 16% last year. So that means that we are having an increase of people saving to either pay off debt or saving to buy a car and those type of things, rather than saving for future and so on as well. It just goes on to just you know, mention that quite a lot of youth. I think about it also states that 68% of youth said that they have had to cut down on expenses, and up to 55% last year and 36 the previous year. So it's increasing as well in terms of that. It looks like youth are spenders, and they're spenders on materialistic things that are not necessarily long term.
Yeah, I think it's really a sad reality in our country right now, that a lot of young people have been awakened in terms of education. But now I think because of what we see, this glossiness that we've been exposed to, we've not been taught about the importance of acquiring assets. And a lot of young people are more on a journey of acquiring liabilities than assets, which is very dangerous, which means that a lot of young people are actually living a life where their children will be in the same trap in the next generation.
So Robert Kiyosaki explained beautifully what's the difference between an asset and a liability. A lot of us have this misconception that certain things are actually assets. Would you mind telling us, a car, is it an asset or a liability?
Okay. I always give this explanation about my car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My car, I regard it as an asset.
Mm.
The reason I regard it as an asset is, when I bought the car, it was bought purely for business use.
Mm-hmm.
It's bought to actually make me acquire more business. So what I do with my car is, when I look at the installment of the car, I look at what that car brought me in terms of cash injection. So what an asset should be able to do, it should be able to bring you more. Or it should be able to sustain you. So, for example, I got a commune also. A commune, you look at a commune, and a commune, for the fact that it brings you money, it becomes an asset, and it becomes an asset that's generating money for you.
Yeah.
So a car, when it's just for pleasure, it's not an asset, it's a liability. But when a car is used to generate income, it's an asset. You need it to generate cars. I'm in sales.
Yes.
I'm in marketing. I'm always in meetings. I need to be driving around.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that my car is an asset. But if a car is just for the pure sake of it being splashed out and people say, it becomes a liability.
Yeah, yeah. No, totally, totally making quite a lot of sense there. Thank you very much for that. So, bro, just in conclusion, tell us, you know, one last message on for the youth, and then tell us where we could find you. We want to follow your life a little and see what, you know, what cool things you have to say on social media as well.
Okay. Well, one last message to youth is, keep going, you know, keep pushing. Learn that, take your preparation season very seriously. Do things to excel, not just to do things. In terms of following me, I'm on social media. I'm on Facebook, Yamkela Kivit. Kivit sounds like a very Western surname.
You are a Klink Afrikaans.
Let me spell it. K-I-V-I-E-T.
Yeah.
I'm on Instagram, Yamkela Kivit, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Twitter, at Yamkela Kivit.
Mm.
If you want to find us, if you want to email me, you can get me through yamkela@marketmagnet.co.za.
Yeah.
yamkela@yamkelakivit.co.za.
Fantastic.
And then where could you find me this weekend? I'm in Durban. I'm at the Youth Explosive with Kayam Tetwa, Norma, the Idols winner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be speaking there and equipping people on business.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely fantastic. Well, there's another one. He's part of the tribe of superstar leaders. He's doing great things for himself. Thank you very much for coming through, brother. We certainly hope that your Durban trip goes well.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor to be able to share such things to the public.
Really great stuff. It. Great stuff. Well, it is certainly that time of the hour right now. It's the fastest hour of the week, I always say. Every time you listen to this show, sometimes if you're listening live, it means that tomorrow's Friday. It's always a really good thing, right? Yes, yes, yes. Certainly feeling good myself. Hashtag winning season, baby. It's always winning season. I hope that you also start winning as well. I hope you get into a new level. This is the Cliff Central Show. It is the Unplugged and In Charge Radio Show. Signing out. CliffCentral.com.